you turn to the book of Revelation, in the 18th chapter, Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18, verse 1. After these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen, and am no widow, and will not see sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Mm. Well, this is a difficult passage to interpret. Every scholar and commentator and every Christian and his dog has their own interpretation of what this is referring to. What we do know, I think, is that it's referring to, a future event. I don't think it's happened yet. And it's clearly an event which is going to cause a great deal of joy and pleasure to the real people of God. Babylon, of course, was an ancient city in Bible times. Daniel, for a time, lived in the Babylonian Empire. And yet it fell. The Babylonian Empire was destroyed. Babylon was destroyed. So clearly, what we're talking about here may not be the original Babylon, because by the time John was writing this, it was, of course, a historical place even to him. There must be some symbolism here. Various scholars have written books saying, well, Babylon refers to global capitalism, or it refers to New York, or it refers to London, or it refers to this, that, or the other. Well, who am I to say otherwise? I think the Babylon here is referring to everything which is obnoxious to God. I think specifically it's referring to false religion. Babylon, of course, reminds us of the great Tower of Babel, that human attempt through human effort and will to force their way into heaven. And of course, we know any who are to come into the presence of God will only do so by grace and through a bloodied cross, not through a building scheme, not through ritual, not through some human effort. And I know I make this point an awful lot, but all false religion is united in its claim that human effort will warrant righteousness or a place in heaven or rightness with God, whichever God happens to be believed in. And biblical Christianity is different to every other man-made religion because it says salvation is by grace and no other means. Well, what we have here is a prophetic proclamation that Babylon is fallen. False religion is not going to endure forever. We know there are countries in the world in which false religion actually controls government. We know that Christians are bitterly persecuted by these regimes of whatever religious flavour. But they always hate the gospel. And of course Jesus said, you will suffer for my name's sake. Blessed are you when men persecute you and revile you because of me. In other words, it's not actually all that unusual. we happen to have lived in a country which for a couple of hundred years has valued and respected freedom of religion. There are dark clouds on the horizon which might indicate that is going to come to an end. But even if it does, lo, I am with you always, yeah, even unto the end of the age. So yeah, we need not be afraid. But what does this Babylon have? Well, we know it's going to fall. You know, the days of folk having Buddha statues in the garden, they're not going to last forever. Churches being turned into mosques and temples, it's not going to go on forever. We're told that Babylon has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, a cage for every unclean and hated bird. And of course there are two interpretations of idolatry, especially in the Old Testament. One is that it's utterly a waste of time. You're bowing down to a block of wood. Don't demote yourself. The other is that actually there are demonic entities behind these false gods, which are receiving a worship which was never their allotted due. Only God is to be worshipped. And yet here we have demons receiving worship through false religion. And that persuades me that this Babylon is in fact a generic term for global false religion, where unclean spirits are receiving that which by right belongs to God, and they find a nest in Babylon. All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. In Old Testament Israel, the picture of a marriage between Israel, between believers and God, was often used. And when the people abandoned the living God for the false religions around them and the made-up gods of the area, it was often likened by the prophets to a spiritual adultery. Well, here we have the fornicator in chief. All false religion, we're told that the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. She is the epitome of everything which is spiritually unclean, spiritually unfaithful, everything which is disgusting and contrary to God's original plan for himself and the human race, which was to have a relationship, a friendship. We're told that the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And of course, some people read that and think maybe it's more than just false religion. And yet, false religion is a very profitable business. We heard a little bit about it, of course, on Sunday morning. Gehazi attempted to enrich himself at Naaman's and arguably Elisha's expense. False religion not only will steal your soul and your right relationship with God, it envies and desires the coins in your pocket and the contents of your bank account. False religion is evil in every respect. And yet in verse 4, we come across a very strange request, or perhaps command. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Well, who are these people? They're clearly the people of God. What are they doing in Babylon? Now, if Babylon here does refer to a particular city earmarked for destruction, yes, come out of it. But I suspect that there are real people who have believed in the gospel, who believe that their sin has been paid for by Christ crucified, who are still part of organisations and groups which do not preach the gospel. And I know, because I've got friends among them. And the call here is for God's people to come out of that corruption. There was a big debate in the middle of the 20th century. Some of you will know this, between John Stott and Martin Lloyd-Jones. Many of the British denominations, arguably nearly all of them, had fallen for what they liked to call modernism. There was actually nothing modern about it. It was as old as the serpent in Eden. And modernism taught that, you know, the miracles aren't real. When the Bible describes a miracle or a demon possession, it's simply ancient man struggling to come up with explaining mental illness. Or, you know, we live in a scientific world. We've got electric light bulbs. How can we believe in all that kind of thing? It was, of course, nonsense. But there are an awful lot of believers in congregational churches like our own, where the person in the pulpit was denying the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But they themselves actually believed it. And John Stott's point was, let's not surrender our denominations to these false teachers. Mm. Were the real believers, it's they who should leave. Martin Lloyd-Jones's point was, look, they've become so corrupt. Shake the dust from your feet and leave them to it. I think history has probably proved Lloyd-Jones to be more insightful and prophetic than John Stott. But there are people today, you know, I know people, I've heard of people, even in the Roman Catholic Church, who I believe they really think Christ has paid for their sin and they're saved by grace, not by repeating prayers or this, that and the other. Quite why they're going there every Sunday baffles me. But the call here is to them. Come out of her, my people. Your church denies the resurrection. It's Babylon. Come out of her. Your church teaches that you burn in purgatory. Come out of her. Lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. And of course, if we're part of a church which is preaching a false gospel and we are supporting it, we are sharing in that sin and we are making ourselves ripe for judgment. There is, of course, a real challenge here. It's implicit rather than explicit. But we must ourselves remain faithful. Yeah. It's very, very easy for a church to slide downwards. It's much harder to keep hold and to keep firm and to hold fast. And there is a challenge there. But there is a challenge to the people of God, those who really know that their sins have been forgiven, that Christ is their saviour. Stop supporting counterfeit Christianity. Stop supporting false religion because its days are numbered. And here we have from verse 5, or verse 6, descriptions of the judgment which is coming upon it. Let's just see this for a moment from God's point of view. God determined that there would be a method, a glorious method, of reconciling the world to himself. And Satan and corrupted human minds counterfeited it immediately. And not only, of course, does it mock the glorious gospel, but it only confirms the deception that so many people experience when they go to hear false teaching. So the challenge here is, let's make sure that we're being faithful. And let's reject Babylon and all her falsehoods and all her error. Let's have nothing to do with her in whatever guise or shape or form she takes in our time, which of course will have been different to the first century. And let's look forward to that day and pray the Lord hastens it when at his return all the devil's lies and subtleties, all his fornications and the adultery which false religion encourages, that it will be dealt with once and for all. Hasten, Lord, the day.
Amen.
Amen.